just as fickle as a feather in a stream. See, honey, I saw love. You see, it came to me. It put its face up to my face so I could see. Yeah, then I saw love disfigure me into something.
Hello, folks, and good late afternoon. It's another beautiful day here in Logan, Utah, and hopefully wherever you are. You're listening to Aggie Radio. I'm Jake Grossman with the USU Meditation Club, and this is Mindfulness on Air. If you've been listening weekly, this is a show about mindfulness, which is a way of paying attention to the present moment by using meditation, yoga, breathing techniques. It involves consciously bringing our awareness to our thoughts and feelings without making judgments about them. It is a method for observing what is happening right now in our bodies, minds, and the world around us. And so it's a very helpful tool. It can be a complete practice, mindfulness, meditation, yoga, just ways that we can come back to ourselves, come back home, be grounded in the present moment, centered with our lives, which has a wonderful effect of not only well-being, it promotes a lot of well-being. We've talked a little bit about the benefits of neuroplasticity, helping with the mind, improving immunity, your immune function, emotion regulation, self-awareness, discovery. But it really helps because we're taking that moment to settle into the moment, to notice what is happening. This moment is where all of life happens. And so if there's something we become aware of, it's happening right now. If there's something we're going to do about it, those causes and conditions can be made right now. And so it helps to step back and notice what is actually happening as it is within us and around us. It gives us that little bit of space to respond to our life instead of just those knee-jerk reactions, and to be with what is, to notice the good things in life, become aware of the things we may dislike. But we've talked about how this is all about attention, and so where we place our attention is typically what we seem to notice when we're always having a negative mental state, or worrying about others or ourselves meeting certain standards. That's typically all we see, and we're kind of shutting off and putting on blinders to a lot of the good stuff in life. And so mindfulness is an integrative mind-body-based approach that helps people change the way they think and feel about their experiences, especially stressful experiences. It involves paying attention to our thoughts and feelings so we become more aware of them, less enmeshed in them, and better able to manage them, not quite caught up and blown around, just noticing that, oh, this is happening, and find a way to effectively go about that, or to just notice how it feels within the body, within our lives, instead of this continuous habitual momentum pushing us around, being caught up in our anger. A good example of that is anger, or really any emotion or mental state. A lot of times we're not sitting back thinking, is this an appropriate response? Should I be angry? Is this logical? What was the reason? Did they do it on purpose? No, typically we're not even aware of actually standing back and noticing we're angry. We're just completely caught up in the moment and reacting to whatever the storyline is. And that goes for most emotions, most thoughts. So really, any form of meditation, mindfulness in particular, just because there's been a lot of studies about it, and I'm most familiar with those, they've been able to see how training our attention, becoming aware of the present moment, how that really helps to step back, notice the storyline, that they're just thoughts, just sensations, feelings, very, very real. They're definitely happening, but maybe not necessarily as true or 100% of the picture as we believe. And so it's really effective to take that time, and most people probably already have it. They may not call it a meditation. They may not know about that at all, but it may be just taking time to sit quietly. It may be contemplating, It could be writing poetry, writing anything. Like we mentioned, it could be yoga. Could really be anything at all, but it's what people typically say is me time, that time to settle in, to de-stress, recharge the batteries. And so that's just a couple reasons why meditation, why mindfulness is helpful with those different benefits. That a lot of studies are finding out with the mental strength and focus increases memory, better cognitive skills, creative thinking, better decision making, problem solving, better information processing, along with the healthier body. If you recall having Professor Phil Wade on last week talking about how it's very helpful for the physical body and mental in promoting health with lowering stress levels and how that affects us over a lifetime. So a lot of great stuff, a lot of good things here about that. And hopefully you found some of the practices helpful. And if not, just hang in there. We'll keep exploring and figuring things out as we go. But I'm also joined here today with a great member. In fact, all members, everybody that comes to the Meditation Club are great members, but a very, very dedicated, a regular member and wonderful being. Kata Carlisle is here with me in the studio. And so how are you doing today?
I'm great, Jake. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming. It's great to have you here. And so other than being part of the club, part of the university, what brings you to USU? I know you're a grad student and a little bit about your program and work, but what exactly do you do? Just so folks know.
Yeah, so I am a grad student. I'm in the ITLS program, which stands for Instructional Technology and Learning Sciences. I did my undergrad here, so I've already been in Logan before, and I'm very familiar with USU. I love USU, and it's been really fun being back on campus. And one of the things I kind of like about the atmosphere here is the student involvement, and it was really fun for me to get involved in opportunities like the Meditation Club. I feel like that's been something that's just kind of like a unique, I mean, I know there's other campuses across the nation that have meditation clubs, but I feel like that's kind of like a unique sort of experience to have at Utah State. Like those kind of activities are encouraged here, so it's nice.
Do you actually feel like that's really helped with your academic success and just involvement being part of the club? Is it all clubs or meditation in general?
Well, I think that my involvement in the campus activities and clubs have just helped me become like a better rounded person. And I definitely would place meditation up on that list with being a more well-rounded person. I feel like that is kind of not something that I would have been really encouraged to do growing up. Not discouraged to do, but it's been, I feel like, kind of the Eastern type philosophies are becoming more popular in the United States right now.
Definitely.
So I feel like that has kind of opened up my mind to those type of philosophies and how they can. So yeah, I'd say overall it has helped me in a lot of different areas of my life.
Be a well-rounded individual. That's great. That wasn't even scripted. So there you go, folks. There's another reason to check out the Meditation Club that is open to all. Whether student, public, faculty, staff, and it's free, and it's a great place for that sense of community and involvement. So how exactly did you come across meditation in your own life?
I was trying to think of how I would answer this, but I don't really exactly remember the moment I came across meditation. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before, but I have done yoga for years, and I really love yoga. And so at the end of yoga, if any of the listeners are familiar, you do Shavasana, which is corpse pose. So after you've done the exercise, you just lay there for a few minutes and just relax. And so some of the yoga instructors will actually walk you through a guided meditation. And that experience has always been very positive for me. And so I do remember seeing, I think there was a curiosity about getting more involved and doing real meditation as opposed to just doing it as a part of yoga. But I saw that it was on the calendar in the Aggie Statesman, so the newspaper. Mm-hmm. That's really what brought me to the club.
Oh, cool.
Physically.
So as a part of yoga, which is a wonderful, we will actually have some yogis coming on our show in a couple of weeks. And so it is a part of that. And what's really great about that is it allows this awareness, this mindfulness to be present even as you're moving. But for you, it sounds like you wanted to go to the heart to actually develop a meditation practice, to dive into meditation itself instead of just a factor or part of yoga.
Yeah, I think what you said right there, you mentioned the word moving. I think in our lives, we're not always moving, but we're always doing something that's either mentally active or physically active. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of our jobs and our schoolwork is done at a computer. And I've had this conversation with many people where they get frustrated being at a computer and they just want to like move around, go outside, or a lot of people go to the gym. So people take breaks to go to the gym, and that's a way to kind of break their brain pattern. I don't know what I'm saying here, but I guess what I'm leading up to is that meditation is a total different type of like activity. So you're not physically moving and you're not just sedentary, but it's kind of like a difference. You're kind of flexing your brain muscle. You know, you go to the gym to flex your muscles, but when you go to meditation, it's a different type. I mean, you're not sedentary, but it's a different type of movement.
Right. So yeah, it's not just sitting there. There's a lot of stuff going on. And one of the definitions I like to use is meditation is cultivating the mind, allowing wisdom to arise. So there's a cultivation, there's a technique going on, setting that up. In fact, that's interesting you brought that up. There's a really awesome quote I like by Rick Hansen, a neuroscientist, and has studied a lot of meditation, both himself practicing it and studying the neuroscience of it. And he actually mentions how meditation for the brain is like aerobic exercise for the heart. So, and Phil Waite, we kind of touched on that a little bit. So it is an actual integral part, or a very needed part of a healthy mind. And I think you're right. A lot of people, whether it's a sedentary, whether they're seated all day or just distracted, or whether it's just in the mind, meditation really helps to allow any kind of creativity to arise, or just really that cultivation, not just kind of distracted all day or bored all day. It's kind of getting to know your mind, and perfectly put, flexing the mental brain muscles. That's awesome.
So. Yeah. I mean, I kind of want to go back to the gym analogy, because I have been thinking about that for the last couple of days in preparation for this. But I really do think that, you know, you go to the gym to flex your muscles, your physical muscles of your body. Meditation is just exactly like that. You practice controlling your mind. Mm-hmm. And to me, I feel like that is such a valuable skill to be able to have. And me, I'm very novice. I'm a really new person to meditation. But to be able to sit there for 30 minutes and basically, it's funny, but you're trying not to think. You're thinking. I mean, for anyone that's confused out there, you should probably come to meditation to really get a full grasp of what it really means to meditate. But like, you're flexing your brain in using it in different ways. I think a lot of people in today's world deal with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I think
Definitely. Meditation
at first can make you anxious, but it's a way to help you practice reducing that anxiety, because you not only forgive yourself for being stressed and anxious, but you also learn how to let go of those thoughts. And I think that takes a great amount of effort to learn how to do that, but it's a great skill to have.
Yeah, that's that kind of letting go and stepping back a little bit and giving some space between what you're perceiving, what you're experiencing, and how you're relating to that. So going along with that, though, a lot of folks ask teachers that, and that's one response they say is, if you want to work out the body, you move it. If you want to work out the mind, you settle it, you allow, you still it. don't want to come off as you're forcing something or you're trying not to think. There's absolutely no, it's a relaxed effort to be present, which holding the mind, allowing it to settle with what's happening right now. And so it doesn't have to be 30 minutes or an actual sitting practice. It can be anything that we anchor our attention onto or with and be present with that. And then the distracted mind, you've all experienced this. 30 seconds, probably not even that long, you're already daydreaming on the other side of the world even, and forgot that you were even trying to pay attention or meditating. And that goes for any skill, no matter what it is, whether it's reading, listening to a lecture, learning anything. The mind just wanders. And so, but is it a bad thing? That's exactly how you just mentioned. There's that forgiveness to one, you become aware of that. As soon as you become aware of that, you're already doing the work. You're already doing the job. You're aware. You've wandered. Then it's a relaxed, in a non-judgmental way. We notice that that's the nature of the mind, to wander, to focus on the negative, to not appreciate what's here, to not be present. And that's a sad part of the human condition, but normal part, that's just kind of how it is. But we don't have to be put along with that. It's not something on the outside that if only I could get that, then I'd be happy. It's we can actually sit down and cultivate that happiness, that peace within. And so it's that awareness when we've wandered, when the mind has wandered or gone to judging, it's letting that go, holding that with some compassion maybe for yourself, kindness, just in a non-judgmental way. Recognize you've done that, the letting go, the giving space, to then be aware of a response. But it's really key, though, when the mind wanders and comes back. That is another perfect analogy of the gym. You don't get strong. You don't build muscles. As far as I'm aware, I'm clearly, if you can see me, I'm clearly not that athletic or spend much time in a gym. So I'm not an expert there. But as far as I know, you do not build muscle. You do not get strength, maybe a little bit of strength. But it doesn't happen from just curling a weight or holding it. It will a little bit. But the strength, the movement, the building, the cultivation comes from the repetitions. It comes from letting the arm down and then lifting. The repetition of flexing and releasing that muscle, of building that strength of whatever it is. And so it's the same thing with awareness. We're going to wander, and we become aware of that and come back to your object of meditation or your object of life. And that really builds that muscle to, it's going to be inevitable. The mind wanders. We're cultivating to be here, to be present. And that's the practice. That's why we've called it a meditation practice. And that's how we go about it. You wander and you bring it back in a non-judgmental way, which builds the muscles. Or whether running, if you just constantly ran and then didn't stop, that wouldn't be good. Or, you know, you cool off too quick or you don't warm up. There's this process that's involved. It's not just holding that and everything is going to be okay. It's the wandering mind and coming back that builds that muscle. So.
Right. I definitely agree. And another thing that I was thinking is it's kind of ironic. In meditation, your brain and your mind is still, but you still your mind and you calm down the active mind. But then you make space for new activity to rise.
Right.
So I mean, rise is an active word, and still is pretty much its opposite. But it's definitely an art, something that you have to practice. And as you said, it's something that you do have to continually come back to practice. And me being a novice, I'm actually excited as I plan to continue to practice meditation, you know, for the rest of my life, to see where it takes me, to see the kind of person that it develops me into.
Yeah. So kind of an open, curious experiment.
Yeah.
Like an inquiry to see what happens.
Right. And this, I don't have, don't quote me on this, anybody, but pretty sure that Steve Jobs used to practice meditation, and it's become a trendy thing in the Silicon Valley. So...
It's like, even on the radio, I hear.
right now. But, yeah, I think a lot of people are starting to see the value of it in helping people to be more productive. I think, you know, if you are constantly trying to calm your mind and get in tune with your inner self, then there's probably going to be a lot of opportunities to be creative. I know that I mentioned earlier Shavasana during yoga. When we lay still at the end, I do actually have a lot of creative ideas that come to me. So just wanted to add that.
and we've actually talked a little bit about how it is when you're stilling the mind, or whatever kind of way you want to put it, when you're in the act of meditation or just training the awareness to being present with whatever that is. And we've talked about how these are can be completely normal experiences, walking, you know, keeping your awareness there, aware of your breath, whatever it is, that as we're cultivating, we're not, or as we're trying to quote unquote still the mind or not have thoughts, which is misleading, because we're bringing our awareness to what is happening in the moment as it is. So if thoughts arise, they arise. But most of us didn't say, I'm going to start thinking now, so they come. And it's just noticing that they're just thoughts, and kind of just letting them, seeing them for what they are. But we've talked about before how when we sit down, we're not running away or escaping, or those thoughts come up, just put them out of your mind, we're meditating. That's not really how it works. It's allowing this clarity. It's like letting the mud settle in the glass of water. You can't force it to become clear. You just got to set the glass down, and the mud sinks to the bottom, and the water becomes clear. That then, when the analogy of the mind, when the mind settles, then those things you were trying to figure out, these important questions of the universe or of yourself or things that do need to be done, that's when we have a clear mind and see things a little more clearly how they are, to then effectively go about it. So it's not, I'm going to meditate and try not to think about these things, even though they might need to get done, or it's fascinating to think about everything out there in the world or the universe. We're not really getting rid of those. We're just training the awareness to be present, and that allows that space, that clarity, to then, when we contemplate or think about things later or throughout the day, because this really builds a momentum to help you throughout the day, that's when we have that ability that's been cultivated to, just like using it as a tool, to then have that tool in our toolbox to,
right,
to be more aware of it.
And I really like the idea of when thoughts come to your mind as you're meditating, when thoughts come that you need to just let go, when you're trying to be still and work comes in your mind and what you need to do for school comes to your mind, just practice this letting it go. I really like how in meditation it's encouraged to just forgive yourself for thinking those things. Because I think sometimes when people try to be calm and not be stressful, a lot of times they get more stressed because the very opposite thing happens. So I think it's a really good principle to take away from meditation to forgive yourself. As you forgive yourself during meditation, I feel like that kind of transfers to other areas of your life. And you're just, for me at least, I feel like I've just been a lot more easy on myself. You know, I think I used to be much more kind of like degrade myself a little bit. Oh, I don't want to use the word degrade, but just be kind of hard on myself. But I feel like it's allowed me to be just, it's just kind of transformed my personality a little bit to be more forgiving of myself and also others. So
what other kind of things or areas have you noticed or don't notice anymore that have developed out of a practice of meditation?
One that I was going to mention today is that it's helped me to sleep. I used to wake up quite a bit in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., and I wouldn't be able to fall asleep. And then it would stress me out because I had to get up in 3 hours, you know, right. At 7 a.m. I'm sure we've all had that experience. And then you see the alarm, your clock, and you're like, oh, no, I have to sleep because I have to wake up in this many more hours. And then you suddenly become really good at math. And So what I've done is, instead of being angry at myself for not being able to fall asleep, that's a really good example of how I apply that forgiveness. I just kind of do the techniques that we learn in meditation. I just try to feel my body, put my mind in my hands, just, you know, if there's any noises around, just kind of like listen to them, experience what it sounds like, experience what it feels like to sound, to have the sound of the air conditioning come to your ears. And I mean, that, I feel like that really, I don't know, I feel like that has helped me a lot to fall asleep quicker. And if I don't fall asleep, then I feel much more rested, way more rested. So I also do the same thing for when I take naps in the afternoon. I usually am not very good at being able to fall asleep in the afternoon, even though I might be so tired and I want to take a nap so bad.
Right.
So now I've started doing meditation, meditative techniques. And if I don't fall asleep, then I end up being really well rested. I was going to say one more thing, but I can't remember.
which is important. It's not necessarily taking time out, and it may be looked down upon. You should be doing something, but we don't go around telling people who sleep at night that you're not doing anything, you should be sleeping. You sleep every night, that's so lazy. It's actual things going on with the mind, with the way you're relating to your life. But again, rest and taking that moment to be present, to develop these skills, or whatever your objective is, to just maybe just be. We have constant deadlines and projects, and to just settle for a moment, feel the breath, mm-hmm. that we're constantly breathing, but are we ever aware? Do we know what it feels like to be alive? Taking those moments are very healthy things. You know, you're sleeping better. It helps with our relationships. So many things that we keep mentioning. And so it's very practical and helpful. It's not
right.
Taking time out. It's a very needed thing. Obviously, evolution said sleep is important because we are completely vulnerable while we sleep, but yet we still 7, 8, 9, who knows how many hours we go to sleep. Because we're more productive when we've rested, when we've let the stuff go from the day, when we come back the next day. We're a lot more productive, we're healthier than somebody without sleep, and it's the exact same thing.
Right, I think that might be a reason why some of these bigger companies are starting to do meditative practices, because people are more productive
mm-hmm.
when they rest their mind and they calm their breathing and they calm their heart rate, and
right.
It's very healthy.
Which, a funny, ironic, kind of, to me, a little tidbit, is some companies that make these things of distraction that we can hold in our hands. I'm not going to say any names, but the things we hold in our hands, what distracts us all day when we're online.
I think I know what you're getting at.
Some of those companies, they actually hire people, probably lots of money even, to come in and teach mindfulness, teach meditation for their employees. And yet we're all zombies, distracted, running around, you know, with that our soul lives with these devices when the folks that make them are doing what we're talking about. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, I think it's all about balance. And right now in America or the Western world, I think we are figuring out that we are imbalanced as mm-hmm. a society. And that is why a lot of these Eastern type philosophies are starting to become more popular in our culture. That's just my personal opinion. I think that everything, the pendulum swings, and now I feel like the integration of like yoga and meditation are some ways to balance out a lot of the heavy technology lifestyles we have.
Right. And even into our impact with the earth, I've mentioned before, and a little shout out to Aggies Going Green, the student organization for sustainability and natural resources here at USU also. They've brought to my attention that with meditation mindfulness, it's helpful, because when you're not aware of yourself, how do you expect people to be aware of the impact on the environment? So here's something that we're talking about can be just in the mind, we say, working with the mind, cultivating the mind, letting go of thoughts, and yet it relates directly 100% to the rest of the planet, the environment, one, through our awareness.
Right.
If we're not aware of ourselves, how are we aware of our impact or the interconnection with resources? But again, like you're saying, not to go off too much on that, is it's that balance.
So yeah.
Very great balance.
And I like how you brought up the Aggies, the environmentalist Aggies.
Aggies Going Green.
Aggies Going Green. Well, it just reminded me of the two meditations I attended where we did the eating meditation where we ate a craisin,
okay.
and then we also did another meditation where we went outside and did a walking meditation. And I feel like that has made me appreciate the earth so much. And that's another thing I feel like you gain from meditating. You're more grateful, you're more appreciative, and you see how everything is so connected. So I think it is a natural consequence from these type of activities to become more aware of the earth. Right. You feel more a part of it. You feel more like connected to it, at least in terms of a cycle. Like, you definitely impact the earth, and the earth impacts you. And
right,
just
we're
appreciation
completely made of the earth.
Yeah,
everything we eat or drink is from here, and that actually seems to be a recurring pattern with everybody we have come on, have talked about how when the mind wanders, when it's not focused, when it goes to these negative patterns or just whatever, when we're unhappy, basically, when we're not content, when we don't feel at ease, is because of that. The mind is wandering, and what typically happens is when it wanders out of boredom, distraction, or the wanting mind, if only I could have that, or when I get this, we're not appreciating what we already have. And that is a direct correlation with why we don't sometimes, well, at least speaking for myself, why I don't feel at ease sometimes is I'm not focused on right now and what is good, what is happening, what I do have, because we want something else. So we don't realize the abundance we may already have, or just how that's been reoccurring, that just came up. That seems to be a big reason of distraction or the wandering mind, is we're not focusing on the good parts of our lives, what is here, the wonderful earth, how much we do have, relationships, the impact with everything.
Right.
It's focused, it's somewhere else. We're wandering around wishing, and instead of just appreciating what's already here.
That's one thing that I feel like I've also gained from meditation, is appreciation of the present moment. And I'd say this has kind of been a theme in the past year of my life that I've really kind of taken on to who I am, is just we have the here and now. And I think that that's more important than anything, because the past is in the past. We don't really know what's going to happen in the future. The present moment, that's what's most important. And meditation has helped me to develop that principle in my life, but also to appreciate and understand the present moment even more. So
right.
I think something that more society could incorporate, I think it's great.
Yeah, it is right now. And even now, it is still now. And so the things we do want to change, it's not saying just passively accept everything or don't worry or there is no future. No, absolutely not. But that future is right now. Because if we are going to take actions, if we are going to change patterns or become aware, that happens right now, because it is right now.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily devalue the past or the present,
right.
But it increases the value, the past or the future. It just increases the value of right now. I really honestly feel very passionate about that. Like, live every moment of your life to the fullest. Very passionate about that.
Right. When we're waiting for X, Y, Z, fill in the blank, for then everything to be okay, you know, we don't know. As you mentioned, we don't know what's going to happen. And so you may finally get that whatever you're waiting for, and it doesn't change anything, because it's still the same kind of mental states, wanting something else or not really settled into right now, appreciating what's already here. No reason not to try to accomplish what you would like to. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with everything we've talked about, the wandering mind. It's just there are skillful ways to be aware of right now. And when we are aware, it's a little more effective pathways to go about either accepting something, being with something, or changing something.
Yeah, and I think sometimes living in the present moment can be beautiful, but sometimes it can also be really painful, because the present moment might be awful. But I think the principle still applies, because even if it's awful, there's something that you can grow from, that you can still appreciate. This is a little bit less serious of an issue, but last week I wasn't feeling very good, and I think I had been going you know, so fast and doing 1,000 things every day. I was really busy, and I think it was kind of starting to catch up to me in the form of a cold, and I was trying to, you know, walk it off and mentally tell myself I wasn't feeling sick. But I ended up laying down and doing my meditative nap, whatever you want to call it. But part of that, I actually just, you know, I went into I took my mindfulness into my body, and I became aware that I wasn't feeling good. And I kind of allowed myself to feel that instead of trying to ignore it. And I think that, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I feel like that kind of sped me up to dealing with the fact that I wasn't sick. I didn't feel good. I took a really long nap after that. And I don't know. I hesitate to say, like, that things are because I meditated or things are because I acknowledged that I wasn't feeling good. But I do think that there was value in me acknowledging, okay, my body doesn't feel good. Let me, like, acknowledge that and let it, you know, pain is a sign that something is wrong. So let me, like, listen to that.
Right.
And let it tell me what it needs to be said.
Yeah, and it's definitely not a cure-all for sure. But most things, it won't hurt to be aware. You know, it's not usually going to help to be in denial, to be confused, to be ignorant. That's not usually going to help the situation. So it may not be a cure-all, but bringing awareness to what's actually happening is only going to be more productive or helpful to go about adjusting something or to just being with it. It can be very painful because we do run away. And one thing you mentioned, coming back to the body sensations we've talked about with the breath or physical sensations, one, this is where it all connects. That's happening right now. Our breath, our physical, what we're feeling, even what we're thinking, isn't happening in the past. It's right now. And so with the breath, with bodily sensations, that physical sensation, it brings you to this moment because it's only happening right now. So you always have that. You always have an object to be centered with. And so bringing your awareness to these sensations, to the breath, it then allows you to kind of step out of the story, out of our thoughts, and drop that storyline. And that's why it works. That's why Kate has been mentioning when you can't sleep or dealing with this or that, why coming back to the sensations, the feeling of the body, the actual felt quality, not thinking about what my hands feel like, but actual sensations, bringing our awareness, that allows us to be anchored to this moment. And that allows us to see clearly what's happening because we step out of that storyline. We step out of the story we've made up. And a lot of times, life can be a lot more kind than the stories we tell about it.
I like that. I like that a lot. And one of the things that I'd like to mention about feeling the felt qualities, is that, I think that's how you usually describe it, is, and I tend to get anxious, like, all my life. It's just been kind of part of who I am. And I think a lot of people do as well, and especially in college. And
kind of conditioned to it.
Yeah, it might be just how our society is now. But one thing I like about the meditative practice is I've learned to forgive myself for feeling anxious, like for, you know, shaking my foot if I'm like ready to leave class or kind of getting that racing heart. And sometimes when I go into my body and just like feel those sensations, just feel my heart rising or feel my muscles and my neck tensing, sometimes just feeling that, allowing myself to feel it, and then allowing myself to not be angry that I'm feeling it, actually contributes to me calming down. So that's something I've learned from meditation that I've applied.
A deep transformation, or at the very least bringing awareness to it, kind of turns the light on.
Right.
And we're not fooled as much. Still happens.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it solves everything, especially, you know, I'm not a doctor. If people need help from a doctor, from medicine, you should stick with that route. But this, like Jake mentioned earlier, it doesn't hurt to apply meditative techniques.
Right. And aware, bringing in an aware, intentional life or attitude to your life is usually pretty helpful. And folks, there's absolutely nothing wrong with seeking medical attention. In fact, we don't criticize somebody for going in for a broken arm, but yet, why is there a stigma for somebody seeking some mental health? it's helped. We don't make fun of people going to the gym. We don't make fun of people going to a doctor. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with seeking some mental health either. And if that is helpful to you, by all means, there's absolutely nothing wrong to do that. It's completely a natural, healthy thing to do. Again, we take care of our physical health, so why aren't we taking care of our mental health? Why is that stigmatized? And so there may be things that will be helpful. They'll have more techniques. They'll probably teach you mindfulness, most likely, with depending on what you're experiencing. But we can also still not wait till it's too late. We can, bring a kind, open, curious, non-judgmental awareness to our lives right now as we're here. So is there any other areas or way that maybe meditation or mindfulness has helped with your schooling, with the technology you use? I mean, you've talked about your personal life, how it's helped you there in many ways, very profound. I mean, even just that forgiveness is pretty transformational. But what about with the all the technology going on? Is it anything there with your schooling or?
I haven't really thought about this. And I find it ironic because part of my degree is instructional technology and learning sciences. So in my career field, I will be using technology for the rest of my life. But
that's why I'm wondering.
Yeah, no, I haven't really thought about it in terms of my career. I do like the documentaries I've seen about the high-tech companies that are incorporating it. And I hope to find that becomes more commonplace in the workplace. And I hope that my future workplace will incorporate that. I can't say that I've incorporated that into technology, except for I sometimes will put my timer on my cell phone to do a timed meditation. So,
So still bring a little bit of awareness to that and, management,
mm-hmm.
the timing to manage the time or.
Yeah. If I want to do like a half hour sit, put my timer on. It is nice to get away from technology completely, though.
Nice. Well, any last shout-outs or anything before we go into our practice?
No, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun. I'm sure that once this is over, I will think of so many things, so many cool things I wish I would have said.
Well, being part of the club and with having our own radio show, doors always open. And, yeah, it's been great having you. And once again, folks, you're listening to Aggie Radio. This is Mindfulness on Air from the Student USU Meditation Club. So with that, if you want to go ahead and bring your awareness to trying these practices out, instead of taking our word for it, or the research, or books, this is one beautiful thing about meditation, about mindfulness, yoga, whatever you want to call it. This awareness is we can actually do it. Anybody can that has a mind. We can bring that awareness to what's happening right now around you. Maybe you can see outside. Maybe the sun is shining. Maybe it's cloudy or raining. People running around. What do you hear right now? Not worrying too much about the name or the labeling, such as a fan, people laughing or walking, maybe the keyboard clicking as you're typing away. Just notice what you hear, bringing your awareness to what's going on within you. Maybe the sensations you're feeling. Maybe you've never noticed that you're sitting in a chair. What does it feel like to be sitting? Do you feel the contact with your back or your legs? Feet on the floor. What does it actually feel like to be alive right now, to have this body, to be here, to be aware. Just bring a curious awareness to what's actually happening for you. What's your experience like? There's no right or wrong way to become aware. Just a little more skillful. Notice any tension that you're holding around the eyes, clenching your jaw, neck or shoulders. Just any obvious tension, become aware of it. Notice what that feels like. And if you can, if you'd like to, on an exhale, release, consciously release any tension if you can. With each exhale, letting go. And feel the sensations as you breathe in. Been talking about this a lot, using the breath or these sensations. They help center us and anchor us to right now, to what's actually happening. So it may sound simple or boring. Why would we become aware of our breath? But we've been breathing all our lives. Do you know what it actually feels like? I don't mean with the verbal or mental answer, yes, of course. I mean, just inside. Where do you feel the breath the most? And what does that sensation feel like from the inside out? You may feel it at the nose. Cool air come in. Or at the palate. The throat. Is it a physical sensation? Shoulders rising. The chest expanding. Contracting. Abdomen rising or falling. Just allow yourself to settle into this moment, to this body, to the breath flowing through you, feeling the healing, nourishing energy as you breathe in, letting go of the tension, any stress from what's happened today or what will happen, releasing that on an exhale. And if you're trying this out now or at a later time, you may find the mind is more chaotic than before, but that's actually a good sign, I say, because it shows you're paying attention. It was always that crazy. It's always that chaotic. We're now just bringing an awareness to it. And so now we think our mind is so chaotic. We may think the meditation's not working. But it is. It's called mindfulness. You're aware. And anytime you get distracted, we notice that, we become aware of that, and return back to the breath, or whatever your object of meditation, or concentration, or appreciation is in the moment. Again, that's building the mental muscles, being distracted or wandering, coming back. You know, maybe just spending time with your spouse, appreciating that, the mind wanders or TV's on, but just bringing your awareness back to the earth, back to the other in front of you, back to the task at hand. Or we can quietly note inside, breathing in, breathing out. With about 80% of our awareness on the actual felt sensation, the felt quality, as if your mind was located at the throat, at the chest, the abdomen, wherever you feel the most. What does it really feel like from the inside out? As if your mind was there, not thinking about it, but just feeling life flow through you freely. Releasing any physical tension on each exhale. And as always, with a little reminder, wherever we are, when we've become grounded with the breath, we can bring our attention to the palms. What are the sensations in your palms right now? Can you just relax them, letting go? Becoming aware of our shoulders. Releasing and letting go of any tension or stress. Become aware of our belly. Any tightness or tension there. Releasing on an exhale. And just see what life would be like if you could really allow yourself to rest, to just be, to feel what's going on. Just for a moment, not trying to prove anything or be anybody, to just be. Feel how good it feels to breathe, to be alive. And what is that like compared to the rest of your day? And that little exercise, bringing our attention and releasing the palms, belly, and shoulders, we can do in class, at work, driving, waiting in a line. We can bring this awareness throughout our day as we're walking. So, a reminder coming up, a little announcement about the retreat I mentioned. Still seems like a long ways away, but you might want to mark your calendars if this is interesting, because July 31st will be here before you know it. There's a meditation retreat in Paradise, which is just south of Logan, with a wonderful, very experienced, legitimate teacher, a couple of teachers coming here, where you can actually find guidance, personal instruction, as well as talks and techniques to take a time out for a retreat. This is a good time to relax and take that time off. And so it is actually titled Awake in the World, and it's cultivating awareness in nature with meditation teacher Susie Harrington and Alexis Santos. So there's a 6-day option from July 31st to August 5th. Or a 3-day over the weekend, July 31st to August 2nd. And it's a residential, so you'll stay there. You can camp at the campground. There's also lodging. You can register at Desert Dharma, DesertDharma.org. Or once again, you can email us if you have any other questions at usumeditationclub@gmail.com. Once again, that's usumeditationclub@gmail.com. If you're looking for any other resources, can't make it to the club, or just want to find other resources, guided meditations online, groups around the valley, that'd be a great way to do that. I encourage you to find any way that works for you, because this is your practice. This is your mind and your well-being. And so once again, this is Aggie Radio. I'm Jake Grossman from the USU Meditation Club, and this was Mindfulness on Air. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Be safe and mindful over the weekend, and have a good one.